Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
If the New England Patriots were a boat and you were stuck in this boat.
Here we go.
And you know your boat has issues and it looks like it may sink, but you know what? You're proud of your boat. You built it and you put a lot of effort and time into it. Coast Guard boat comes by and says, hey, you know what? Seas are going to get rough. Your boat doesn't look that good. You should probably let me tow you in. Would you say yes, or would you take your chances and just the fact that you may die? Yes.
No. I've been to 9 Super Bowls, and I've won all these things, and I can fix it.
Uh-huh. Like,
no, you're screwed. So, I don't know. That's my analogy of the day.
Fourier's boat analogy, yeah. Heading to pregame there on Sunday, talking about this New England Patriots offense, Marloni and Fourier. Kinda.
Well, the reality is that there's still some delusion that exists with this team. So the boat analogy works because, hey, my boat's fine. But here comes another person with a really good boat that's built for to not sink. And then he's telling you, your boat looks like crap.
No. Motorboat?
Neither.
No, okay.
It's not that type of motorboat.
All right, so let's go silver lining.
Let's go silver lining.
I mean, the Patriots are 2-4.
Yeah.
You've lost 4 straight at home. The only teams you've beaten are the New York Jets and the Houston Texans.
Yep.
And you're going to give me the silver lining right now.
Yeah. No, I feel like we're done with moral victories, right?
No more moral victories.
You can really only have one a year.
Yeah.
You're only allowed one, not four. Yeah,
you can't have four moral victories Mondays.
Well, I mean, listen, how about this one? Let me see. Oh, you were 2-for-5 in the red zone. Yeah, they were 2-for-5. You held them to 2-for-5. You
were 2-for-2.
You were pretty good. And then every time you had an opportunity to score, you did. How about this? You had a goal line stand. Like you gave them 4 opportunities to score and you stuffed them. And then on the last play, you got a turnover.
I got one. You're really good at drawing penalties.
Excellent job.
They committed 12 of them. So you're really good at drawing penalties.
Yeah, and you know how many you had? 5
yeah.
For 47. They had 12, like you said, for 115 yards.
Another one. Third downs. They were 3-for-13 on third down.
They were terrible.
Does that even sound right?
You know why?
It's the most shocking stat I saw all day.
Third down. They were never in third down. Trying to think. Oh, you know what? It was a close game. Oh. You fought to the end. Hey, and if Aguilar could catch the ball, maybe you win the game. How about that? Is that enough? That's the only thing. That's all I got.
No.
You know what? Here's another one. Guess what?
What?
Mac is indestructible. You can't break him.
Hope not.
You can hit. He likes to get hit. He's like a masochist. Is that what you would call a guy like that? He likes pain.
He loves pain.
Can you imagine what him and his girlfriend are going through?
He says it's fun.
he likes being beaten.
Have you ever watched a football team?
Strap me up, baby.
But chains and whips.
You tell me. We agree that the NFL, the quarterback is the most important position.
Yeah.
On the field, correct?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a team where the quarterback doesn't really make a difference? No, and I'm just saying this because, like, as far as like playing well or playing poorly, like I don't feel like they're winning or losing because of Mac. You know, I think he's actually playing really well. I think he's a rookie in his 5th start or 6th start, And I think he's playing really well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so you could say, well, you know, he's 15 for 21, and you know, one play with 75 yards got him over 225, and he's not doing enough. I think he's doing exactly what they ask of him. They're not asking him to do more. They don't want him to do more. And I think he's out there executing. But I've never seen a quarterback kind of not really have impact on winning and losing because I think he's playing well. Like, well, it's the strangest thing.
And I would say, so he had some bad throws. Like, for the amount that he threw, he had some bad throws. But when it mattered, man, he delivered.
He's not perfect. I'm not saying he has been.
And nobody are. So he throws a turnover, throws a pick at the worst time. To a guy that's been, has notorious for bringing stuff for bringing interceptions back to the house. It was this, so Trayvon Diggs had 6 interceptions in 5 games. He got his 7th against you, okay? And then you come right back and you throw a touchdown, 75 freaking yards. Okay, fine. Now we're cooking. And then you get the ball back. You win the toss. I want to win it. Aguilar drops the goddamn ball. out of all the plays, sorry, change the music.
That was positive.
Sorry.
It turned quickly.
And I'm like, the dude dropped the ball.
I know.
So then, you know what? Mac's a good guy. He has faith in his buddies. He wants to empower them. He wants to encourage them. He wants them to believe in themselves. And you know what Mac Jones does on third down in overtime? He goes right back to the guy that dropped the easy catchable slant pass that should have went for a touchdown. Now, if that's Josh Gordon, you know he's catching it because he's a slant and go guy. But Aguilar misjudges it, doesn't recognize the timing, doesn't understand the situation, and maybe he doesn't even know Mac is throwing a back shoulder.
You know, Aguilar dropped that ball right in his hands. And if he catches that ball and takes it to the house, you're talking about the last 2 drives that Mac had are basically a 75-yard touchdown pass, and then whatever that was, right? Whatever that would have been, 60-yard touchdown, 65, 70-yard touchdown pass to Aguilar. I don't think he's playing bad. I think he's a rookie, and I think he's playing well. I just don't think they want him to do more than he's doing right now. Like I think it was like Wiggy keeps saying they can't go out there and win a game for them. You know, or others
who
say
can?
Like he's not Mac Jones. Like he's not impacting winning and losing. I think Boomer actually even said it this morning. Like he hasn't gone out and won you a game, because a lot of it has to do with I don't think they want him to go out there and win the game. I think Bill.
What was last week against the Houston Texans?
I know, but
I
think Bill wants him to just do enough, and Bill expects to win it on defense. Bill expects to win on special teams. Ironically, that's given up now 2 block punts in a row. Bill wants to win the game because he's smarter than David Culley, which he is. But it's like, because the kid's out there, he's still throwing over 70% completion percentage.
Well, see, to me,
but they're asking him to make these little throws and move the ball downfield.
To me, that is a lame take by both Wiggy and Boomer. He did what he was supposed to do. He threw the ball. They didn't catch it. So it's my fault. I can't drive us down the field when the guys aren't catching the ball. See, that's the thing with the quarterback position. It's the only position on a football field where there's – and you go to Pro Football Reference, there's a W and an L next to every game start.
Do you agree with that his play doesn't match a record?
Agreed.
Like if Mac Jones, 6 games into it, and I threw some of these numbers out there, and I said, you know, okay, so now what you got? So you have 7 touchdowns, 6 picks? And you say, okay, that's a lot of interceptions. But still, you would see 73, whatever it is, completion percentage, and you would say – yeah, okay, he's playing pretty well. This team, wow, okay, maybe they're at least 3-3, right? Maybe they're 4-2 with the way he's been playing. But it's just, it's not kind of fitting. Let's go to Shane. I'm going to go to Shane real quick in a car. Go ahead, Shane. Go ahead, buddy. You're up.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Christian? As a ship captain, I've had that same scenario.
The boat. You like the boat analogy, Shane?
I think it works.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I've been there. Anyway, Lou, I just going to ask you, I mean, what is going on with this team? Is this just a complete disaster? Is Bill Belichick, is he the ultimate coat rider? What's he doing with the offense without Scarnecchia and Brady? As a GM, he's eating against himself, giving himself substandard players that he can't coach up anymore. These players, what is going on?
All right, let's look at just the talent discrepancy that exists.
Who built the talent?
Well, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah,
and you look at the New England Patriots, you look at their draft picks, you look at their guys, and you look at the guys the Patriots have.
Now you're coming to
I hate to beat a dead horse.
Yes.
But what is N'Keal Harry doing on this team?
Getting yelled at by Mac Jones for not being in the right spot.
It is. I get it. Okay, so how many times are you going to let this guy affect the team negatively? So all he's good for is edge blocking, and even that, he'll get a penalty. He is worthless. He may be the worst draft pick in the history of this team based on where you took him, how badly you needed one, and you had never done it before. You want to draft a receiver for the first pick, and the guy is terrible. Like, he is terrible. I don't understand what his value is.
So since Mac Jones, your three first-round picks, with N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, and Sony Michel, and you ask, like we kept talking about how it's going to catch up to you. It's absolutely caught up to you. It's caught up to you because you had to spend $250 million to repair that. You know, instead of a guy like N'Keal Harry, if it was DK Metcalf or Deebo Samuel or A.J. Brown, you wouldn't need $11.5 million going to Aguilar. You would have, one of those pigs, wide receivers, and then you would have Kendrick Bourne. You would have, Jacoby Myers. You know, if you actually drafted a tight end when you heard that Gronk was retiring and there was a bunch of tight ends that are now playing in this league from the draft 2 or 3 years ago, maybe you wouldn't have to spend $12.5 million on Jonnu Smith. You know, maybe it was just one or the other. Hey, maybe you wouldn't have signed Hunter Henry, it would have been just Jonnu Smith. But these things sort of add up, and it adds up on payroll, and it adds up on players, and it adads up on talent. It absolutely 100% adds up. It's like, oh, you keep harping, you forgot they won a Super Bowl. And it's like, the drafts affect you 3, 4, 5 years later when you got to go spend $180 million in guaranteed contracts to make up for your failure in the last 3 or 4 or 5 drafts. And that's where you're at right now. That's why your talent. We said before, you spent $250 billion in contracts. You're still not as talented as half the league.
Yeah, and that's why I think the talent discrepancy is pretty freaking obvious. The fact that that Dallas Cowboys team had 12 penalties for 115 yards. They had scoring opportunity after scoring opportunity. First and goal at the half-yard line, and they couldn't score. I give you credit.
Yes.
You did a good job. It really looks like they scored on that third try inside on the one-yard line. They didn't review it, but you couldn't see it. But then they go for it again. He jumps over the pile, and Bentley makes an unbelievable, bright play.
Go for the ball.
He knocks the ball out, and it's a fantastic play. And you're like, all right, that's coaching. Coaching matters. I also feel like McCarthy completely put them in so many terrible positions at the end of the game.
Can I ask you a question?
It's amazing like they actually they're winning these games.
So end of the first half. There's 2 seconds left in the play clock, and there's like 9 seconds left in the half. And he calls a timeout.
McCarthy does.
Yeah. Oh, so then what? So then with like 6 seconds left on third down, Mac Jones just kneels on it.
Yeah, that's
right. So why wouldn't you just let them run a play and hope that there's 2 seconds left in the clock and then call timeout after the play to force them to punt because you just blocked one before? And even the broadcast, they're like, why call a timeout now?
I don't know.
Like it was just, it was like, why?
Yeah, just, because you can't take them with you?
It's like let them run a play, and maybe with like a second or two left, you at least force them to punt or do something stupid.
And how about at the end of the game with 24 seconds left, 3rd and 25, they converted, but they called a timeout immediately after instead of running the clock all the way down to 2, kicking the field goal. So they're actually giving the Patriots an opportunity to take the kickoff back and have an opportunity to score. It was very weird.
Yeah, like even Romo said, you only call this timeout if you're going for it.
Yeah, it made no
sense.
You don't
call this timeout if you're kicking a field goal because 4th and 1, you let it go down to about 2 seconds and
then
you kick your field goal, right?
There's so many issues.
But they overcome it because they have so much talent.
They're just so good.
So much more talented
than you. Think about it. Their third wide receiver, Cedric Wilson, is probably just as good as the other two. He made some unbelievable catches too, from CeeDee Lamb to Cooper. And here's the other thing. Since when did Gillette Stadium turn into SoFi Stadium where the Chargers play the Vegas Raiders?
Like, well, I was going to mention that, but I didn't want to be the sports hub.
Oh, my God.
And how it sounded like it was flooded with Dallas Cowboys.
Because every time taking over your stadium.
Amari Cooper caught the ball, it was Coop everywhere
it's
you
amazing.
Heard it. But it's just the reality of it. It's Dallas Cowboys. They have followers everywhere. Of course they're going to get tickets. Just like Yankee fans here in Boston. They're going to get tickets. No big deal. But still, it was a depressing, depressing game. All right, listen, when we come back, I want to play some sound with Devin McCourty. He had to say after the game, which I think was very telling. You will hear that next with Maloney and Fourier.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I saw some clips of your former teammate, Raekwon Davis. He thinks that you're the Joker. You're like the character, the Joker.
Everyone called me the Joker. Yeah, I mean, that was just a nickname that I got from my laugh. Oh, gosh. Oh, and we got some good laughs. Oh, Lordy, that's a great question.
Yeah, it's, come on.
All right, you listen to Maloney and Fourier down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap right across from Fenway Park. Come on down. People starting to pour in. Getting ready for Game 3, Sox and Stros. That is coming up. By the way, Mac Jones, we interviewed him at 2:30. We're going to replay some of that in that 4:30 segment. Normally we do it in 5 o'clock hour, but we're just going to devote that hour for the Red Sox to get you kind of ready for this game. But right now I want to get to some of these calls on this Pats game, this tough loss you had the other night. Let's go to Jeff in Chicago. Jeff, you're on with Lou and Christian. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Lou. How you doing, man? First time caller. I'm actually, my brother went to high school with you at Framingham High, so it's always good to talk to you.
Oxy Posse in the house.
South High. What's up? Go ahead, pal.
So listen, I'm looking at Mac Jones' passing yards for all the games. You know what his highest passing yards were prior to the 75 bomb he had yesterday? His longest pass attempt.
I don't know, 30, 35 maybe?
32, really close. My point
good
is...
Good job,
the kid,
Lou.
The kid, you brought up a great point. He's doing everything you asked him to do. Like, why isn't Belichick and McDaniels, let him throw the ball. Like, let him air it out again. Like, the kid can do it.
I don't think they're as restrictive with him as I originally thought. I don't think they're as... If the plays are there, he's throwing them. Like, he's changing plays at the line of scrimmage. He's audibling when he needs to. He's throwing it deep when he needs to. I think his throws down the field are predicated on what the defense gives him. See, and he doesn't force the issue.
That double move, that touchdown to Bourne, I don't know. I just, and maybe, listen, I got to dive more into the all 22s.
There you go.
Maybe that's what I got to do.
I'll give you my Game Pass ID.
But I just wonder if, like, if they're allowing him, or if he's taking that as his first look, like those types of plays. You know what I mean? Or if he's not letting those plays develop because they would much rather have him take this little 7 yard out over here and not even wait for this double move to even possibly be open or possibly happen, right? Because that play there, like, that was a ballsy throw, you know, a ballsy throw.
Yeah.
You know, after just throwing a pick and you go a double move, and it's just, a, you know, to me it was a perfect pass in between Diggs and that safety. And look what it turned out to be, 75-yard touchdown pass. So I just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Because earlier in the year, remember you said, like, he's scared. He's turning it down.
Yeah, but he's scared not because he doesn't think he can do it, because he doesn't want to upset the coaches.
Right.
To me, that's totally different.
Right. All right, let's go to, I want to go to Ray in Revere. Ray, go ahead, buddy. I'm Lou and Christian.
Oh.
Oh, we're on hold.
Oh, Ray.
Dude, it's the same song.
He's got to find something
it's the
different.
Same song. I don't know how to put him
hey,
on
listen,
hold.
Do
put
not,
him on hold.
Do not take Ray anymore unless he, you know,
has
agrees.
Ray done that to us before?
Yes, last week we were jamming out to it.
Dude, Ray, come on, what are we doing? Paul in Rhode Island. Paul, go ahead, buddy. You're on with Lou and Christian.
Hey, guys, thank you for taking my call. A long time. Listen, let's start off with our quarterback. Our quarterback is maybe here for 7 years. He's the real deal, no doubt about it.
Okay.
The reason I'm calling, I'm going to direct this right to Christian.
Beautiful.
Okay, it's this. I think the guys that played last year during COVID and guys that we got in a free agent overpaid, and they're not doing their job. They're not doing their job for one thing, because you got guys that been here in 2 years or 3 years, whatever, in line of progression to get at that position, and they are on the bench. Now, I understand.
Paul, what's
that
the question,
Belichick
Christian?
Sorry,
what is the question?
What's the question?
The question is there a controversy and jealousy in contracts in that locker room right now?
Okay, thank you. No, there isn't. No, there isn't. No, I think they've all earned it. It's fine. But he did say something that made me think about okay, guys that were signed in the offseason. Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
Where was he? He's the best, most impactful player on your defense, and he didn't make a difference at all.
No.
He was dropping in coverage more than he was pass rushing. I felt like there was like, okay, I get what they're doing, because they literally threw everything at Dak Prescott. You know, blitzes, zone blitzes, you know, eight guys in coverage, you know, two guys rushing. I mean, you name it, they threw it. I just felt like he should never be dropping into coverage, ever. Like, he should be rushing, find opportunistic, you know, little situations for him, other than just edge rushing off tackles. To me, that to me is something I would like to have back. He didn't sack, you didn't pressure, you didn't like stress out Dak Prescott at all. Did
yeah.
he?
No. No, and I think we go back to like Bill kind of going up against these types of quarterbacks, guys that can move out of the pocket, and it's almost like containment is the most important thing. The problem is he can sit in that pocket and abuse you too. And he got outside the pocket whenever the hell he wanted as well. And like you said, he didn't get outside the pocket to dump it like 3-4 yards to
no.
Zeke. He got outside the pocket to throw it 15-20 yards downfield to guys that were open. So either, if you're not going to pressure him, you're going to flood a secondary. Guys are wide open.
They're
like
playing.
Jason Mills? What's his first
Jalen
name?
Mills.
Jalen Mills. Like, there was a couple throws to CeeDee Lamb where he was never, ever within 5 yards of him.
Mm-mm.
Like, he was covering him, but he was just never within 5 yards of him. And you're like, what are we doing here? I mean, are you going to ever close on this guy? Are you ever going to do anything against this guy?
It's a
mismatch.
Just
let him do whatever he wants. It was like running on air.
Yeah, it's a mismatch.
Complete mismatch. It was awful. Let's go to Leslie on the Vineyard. Leslie, what's up?
Hey, guys. I have never been so upset at a game as I was yesterday. I just was beside myself with the coaching. You know, to go to have 2 inches to go and fourth down, for him not to trust his quarterback, which is, so
appreciate it.
Good for
I
you,
appreciate
Leslie.
It. I appreciate
dropped
it.
Dropped a little S-bomb. I mean, she gets emotional.
I can tell you, I can't remember the last time I was so irritated after a loss, like a Patriot loss.
Yeah.
Usually, I'm completely unaffected, just remove my own emotions from the game. I don't care. I just want to be right when I call an upset. So I'm calling an upset, and here you are.
You had it.
Everything is happening right? And you really, like, and you said it, like, they're not doing anything right, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs, and they have so many issues. But they're still an intriguing team to me.
Very interesting
There's
team.
Something. So I I don't think it's worth it for people to give up on this team, right? I still think there's something there. So what is it? Do they fix their tackle situation? They may have two of the worst tackles in the NFL right now. So they're starting two guys, and then they're pulling those guys, and they're replacing them. And then those guys suck so bad that they pull them, put the other two guys back in again.
But aren't there some concerns, like you said, the tackle position? Like, how does it get fixed? Like, Trent Brown? Like, is he out all
Don't
year with the calf?
Him.
Like,
Don't
he could be out
him.
All year. And the third down back, Brandon Bolden, that was the other one. When was that when it was third and one? And the beef,
I know.
And they had all the beef in there.
The safety came through.
And
Jacoby Myers couldn't block
him. Minus a yard.
Okay, but here's the thing. But the design of that play, that bugged me. The design of that play is wrong. So you're Jacoby Myers. You're blocking force, okay, which is the first person off the edge.
But it was all beef and just Myers on the field. Why isn't Nikhil Harry?
My point is, exactly. And but here's the other thing. But so what? His alignment is wrong from the beginning. There's no way that Jacoby Myers can block an inside stunting force player where he knows the ball is going inside. So there's no short motion. You don't say hold. Hey, Jacoby, come in tighter. That's what Tom would say. Come in a little closer so your foot is right behind the tight end. Therefore, you can't get hit by inside pressure. And the guy blew up the play. That's Jacoby Myers' guy. But so Brandon Bolden gets hit behind the line of scrimmage because of the way Jacoby Myers aligned.
Why is it Nikhil Harry in there? At least the one thing he can do is block, right?
One, I agree with you. Two, that play is not built for success. That's not Jacoby Myers. And then I would say another time, Mac Jones is calling the snap. White 80. What, you know what he does? White 80.
Yeah.
Hold. And then they jump.
White 80.
It's this long, drawn-out, unorthodox the way of calling the play where everybody's on edge. They're waiting for the set hut. He drags it out. Then he says, wait. Now everybody jumps. That's on him.
What's 180?
It's just everybody just makes up their numbers. You can call 360.
Okay,
360.
Cam is the same thing. Well, to your point, you don't want to give up on them. I do think that they are still a very interesting team. They've been in all of these games. You've had great games against Dallas, great games against Tampa. It's infuriating because they can't win. They're 0-4 at home. They're now 2-4, and their only victory is against the Jets and the Houston Texans. But right now, 3-3 is in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, right? It's not like it's – and there's a team at Cincinnati that's 4-2, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. I think they're better teams than that. Kansas City will figure it out, but maybe Vegas isn't really a 4-2 team. So – It's you'll probably win next week, I would think, even though I'm sure it won't be as easy as most people think. And you'll probably get the 3-4. But the bigger issue is that, even if you get there, it's like the Jets twice in Houston. There's got to be a victory somewhere. Miami, look how bad that football. They're 1-5. That's the only win they have, and you handed it to them.
That loss
and they lost
really
to the
bad.
Jaguars this weekend.
And they lost to the Jags.
How badly does that? So, and you know what? And they're talking about firing Brian Flores.
Yeah.
They want to fire. He loses five in a row. They want to fire him.
But
it's amazing.
It's just like you don't have – obviously, they're not out of it now yet,
no,
right?
No, they're not.
Once you get past the Jets, it's the Chargers. It's going to be Carolina. There's going to be a Tennessee mixed in there. There's going to be Indianapolis mixed in there. And it's like it's going to be another dogfight to the end with these teams. I don't know. Maybe San Diego rights the ship and they beat them up pretty good. Who knows? But it's going to be dogfight games. And can they do the little things to win? And right now they're showing they can't. And that's probably the most frustrating thing out of all of it. All right, listen, when we come back, there was a sound of Devin McCourty that I wanted to call for. I will call for it next. And we're going to play a little bit of Mac Jones. We talked to him earlier at 2:30. We normally do that in a 5 o'clock hour, but once 5 o'clock hits, it's all Sox and get these Sox fans going a little bit, getting you ready for Game 3. We are down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap on Jersey Street, right across from Fenway Park. Come on in, say hi, get ready for the game. We do a little bit of our Mac Jones interview. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv.
Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now more of the guys. Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
Championship, Eliza. Yeah. God bless you, America. Play ball.
Oh, I love that. Baseball. We're getting ready down here. That's right, we are. We're down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap. 5 o'clock hour. We're going to hit all Sox. We'll play a little bit of our Mac Jones interview like here that. In this segment. But I wanted to play this Devin McCourty sound.
Yeah.
This girl, I like her. She's like heckling us, I feel like, from the sides.
Yeah.
So Devin McCourty mentioned this briefly earlier in the year and kind of came back to this topic, you know, after the game, talking about the New England Patriots of the past.
Everything in the past has nothing to do with this year. I don't think anybody thinks about the 04 team and says, man, it was tough in 04. You know, we got to go there now in 21. It's to like, it just is what it is. You know, we're the 2021 Patriots who haven't won at home. The past doesn't matter. What those guys did in the past won't help us.
And this is something that we've talked about, and I feel like when it comes to it, we've talked about this before every single game. The last 3 weeks, right, players, GMs, coaches, talking about the Patriots as if they were the Patriots of, say, 2017, 16, 15, whatever, 04, 07. And they're not the team they're describing. We have to stop talking about the Patriots of the past as if it's this team and start talking about the present, which is 7-9 last year, which is 2-4 this year, you know, which is just they're not doing the things that we're accustomed to seeing. They've had two punts blocked,
yeah,
like two of them. Like there's things that are uncharacteristically happening to the teams of the past, but it's starting to be more of what this team is like the last couple of years, right? And that's what kind of McCourty's hitting on.
And I think he's probably just fed up with it.
Gotta be.
He's fed up with the comparisons, fed up with the with just the whole idea that this team is anywhere near the same as the teams of 04.
Because you know what it is, too?
It's just, and I would, it's almost insulting, you know?
That's what I'm saying. He's been on championship teams. He's been on teams that went to 3 Super Bowls and won a couple of them. And for people keep mentioning the past, he's like, it basically doesn't give those teams enough credit for who they were, what they did, and how attention to detail and how professional they were and how good they were at their jobs. You know what I mean? You've been on a great football team or a great baseball team, and it's like, this team reminds me of that. It's like, no. They don't deserve to be even in that conversation because you don't understand how hard it was, how good we were. We probably still haven't got enough credit for those things. You know how hard it is to do what we used to do, and you can try to just throw that around like every team just possesses it? Why? Because the front of our jerseys? No. And I think it kind of, in a way, it kind of like diminishes the hard work and how good they were in the past for people to even bring up, well, you're the Patriots. No.
Well,
I
feel like they're all saying the right thing. And the one thing that kind of stands out to me is like, hey, listen, we're getting it together. You know, it's going to take some time. Like, it's week 7 now. Okay, as soon as this game is over tonight, Titans and Bills, it is officially week 7. What are we waiting for? Like, you don't have a hint of what it's going to be like. You're almost at the midway part of the season. Like, it's going to be November soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's this Thanksgiving. And that Thanksgiving, that November goes, flies by. Because next thing you know, it's Thanksgiving. Next thing you know, it's December. And you're like, okay, we're still 2 games below 500. And that is why I think this team is still holding out hope. Like, they still are almost like a romantic, you know, when it comes to their chances for making the playoffs. Like, can they turn it around? Can they go on a run? Okay, well, I believe that they can pretty much play with anybody. They can play with anybody. They've shown it over 6 weeks that they will stay in the game, whether bad or good. Now, back to our conversation last week before we play Mac Jones. So, last week it was Thursday and Friday, they played
to the level.
To the level of the competition. Right? If it's bad, they're going to play to that level. If it's good, they're gonna be more focused, and they're going to be have a greater understanding of what's at risk and what's at stake. Do you believe that to be true now after playing two really good teams, a borderline average team, and two crappy teams?
I think now after watching the Dallas taking them to overtime, you could say that. Even though I still think they're lucky to even be in that position, because I think Dallas played so poorly. They practiced a great team, a very good team, I should say. A very good team tried to give you the game, and you still weren't good enough to take it. That's how I looked at that game yesterday. A very good team just tried to hand it over to you, turned the ball over twice in the red zone, committed 12 penalties, and you still couldn't take it.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. That's why I keep looking at it. Even like some of the plays, like the one red zone play where they threw it to, was it CeeDee Lamb, I think it was, and I think I don't know who knocked it out of his hands, Bethel. It was a great defensive play.
It was.
I mean, they made – that's why I think, like, we got to give them some credit. Like, that goal line stance was unfreaking believable.
Just to get the fourth down was
just
fantastic.
Just to get to it, you're almost sitting there going, just let them score and get it over with.
Yeah.
And they can't get it. They can't get one freaking yard. And then another set of red zone plays, they throw it into the end zone and you knock it out of the guy's hands. So, listen, I get it. They scored on their last five. They missed out of their last five attempts. They scored except one time when they missed the field goal.
Right. Right.
That was it.
And you still felt like you could stop him for some reason in overtime. All right, listen, we did. We talked to Mac Jones at 2:30. He said a couple of things. We want to play back a couple of his answers. Number one, you asked him about his improvement journal and what he put in it this week.
Improving my feet and my communication with the offensive line, just making sure we're on the same play. You know, I think my feet were a little out of whack, and every week there's things I do to improve on that. And in terms of communication, just talking with the offensive line and making sure that we're on the same page. And I think we did a good job of that, but that's something that needs to improve.
Okay, so
feet.
Last week it was, you know, putting the hand, too many people touched the ball.
Yeah.
So this week it is his feet and his communication with the offensive line. Do you think there were some communication issues as far as who's the mic, who the line needs to slide to, who does the back need to get?
So was it his fault in communication that Kajustis gets blown up and he almost dies?
Well, not that one, but I would say Jacoby Myers' inability to block the edge.
Okay.
I would say maybe Ramon Stevenson's inability to figure out who to block.
How about Isaiah Wynn just getting run over?
There was
Gregory
that's not his fault. But I was another one when Hunter Henry had absolutely no clue who to block. He didn't know who to block. So instead of blocking one guy, I do feel like there's still issues with nobody knows who has who. Like, it happens too many times.
Ramondre Stevenson didn't know who to block yesterday.
Well, Ramondre Stevenson, but also Hunter Henry.
Oh, he just fell down.
There's so much indecision. Like, so they can't be aggressive. They can't be right because they are not sure. So a guy like Hunter Henry, who's on the edge, who always has the edge guy, like, is blocking the inside guy. Then he misses up, and then he tries to block both, and then the edge guy comes free.
Yeah, and what happens is you get hit an awful lot. And we asked him about that. I believe you asked him about getting hit.
You know, I just turned around and looked at my reads, and he had a jump on the snap count, and it kind of just was unfortunate because it almost like he timed up my cadence. I wish I held onto the ball, and it's just one of those bang-bang plays, and I think our offensive line did a good job protecting me.
Do you remember who hit you the hardest?
I can't remember specifics, but I think getting hit's always fun because, you know, it makes it more fun. That's part of the game. And,
fun? You're kind of nuts. You know, that didn't look like fun, man.
No, hell no.
The best part is getting back up and knowing that you're fine and you can just go out there and keep playing. And sometimes you don't get hit all the time in practice, obviously. So it's okay to get hit a little bit and pop back up. And it kind of just adds a little bit of competitive juices to the whole situation. The best quarterbacks in the world, they all pop up quick and play the next play.
Yeah, there's a screw loose missing with him.
So, it's fun, but he does realize that. You know, does he watch the rest of the league? Not every quarterback gets up.
Exactly.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I saw Baker Mayfield get tackled and shoulder. He's got a shoulder issue, maybe popped it out, right? I mean, there are issues like that, or chest or ribs, you know, you name it. Like, like not every quarterback gets up. And I appreciate the fact that he thinks it's fun.
You know, it makes it more fun.
Yeah, it's fun because he's able to get up. But he keeps taking hits like that,
no,
then he may not get up.
Yeah, that is – I get it. He, he's got a tough guy demeanor, and he knows he's going to get hit. And maybe he kind of, you know, you know, likes to kind of, you know, looks up to those guys who get smacked. Because it's part of the job.
Yeah.
It's part of the job, Lou.
All right, you talked about, too, after getting pick six from Trayvon Diggs,
yeah,
he went back at him for that touchdown pass to Bourne. This was his response.
Yeah, it felt good. I had called that, and throughout the week we worked it, and it just happened to hit the right way. And I actually could have held the safety a little more, but and KB made a good play, like I said, and we had plenty of time, and it was just a perfect call at the time for what we were looking for. And I try not to focus on the play that just happened. So if the guy was open and he slipped him, then I'm going to throw him the ball regardless of who's covering him. And
All right, so that to me is a ballsy move. Okay, it shows you that he just really, honest to God, like I believe him. He's not affected by the previous play. Like that to me, I would think that would scare me a little bit. Okay, man, I turned it over because I wasn't accurate, and that led to a touchdown. Now, man, I really can't beat. I can't make a mistake.
I'm going to go back to the guy that now has seven picks.
Yeah, let me. Yes, now he has seven. Let me go back to the same receiver who is covered by the same cornerback. And let me go back to them. To me, that is a ballsy move.
Yeah,
it's like you can't dismiss it.
That's why I say that
most guys would be nervous because really Trayvon Diggs, what he's doing, he's creating his own Revis Island. Like that's where his reputation is leaning. Hey, don't throw it towards Trayvon Diggs. He'll pick you and he'll run it back for six.
Yeah. Hey, let's get to the phone calls. I want to go to Jesse in New Bedford. Jesse, go ahead. You're on with Lou and Christian.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Not much. Kike Hernandez, I just got a shout-out real quick. He's playing awesome. But
awesome.
I want to go to Mac Jones. You just mentioned him. I think he's the only guy on this team right now that has a set on him because, I mean, he's clutch. He's coming through in the clutch. And the problem with this team is it's the coaching. Now, if Bill Belichick doesn't take the ball out of Mac Jones' hands, we're sitting here talking today, maybe him going toe-to-toe with a goat and maybe beating him if he doesn't go for that long field goal in the rain. And then right here on 4th and 3, he decides to punt. Maybe Mac Jones comes down and delivers again. We're talking about two come-from-behind wins against the GOAT and an MVP.
See, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off because here's the thing. You know how many teams could say the exact same thing? You know how many teams could sit there and look at the previous five games and say, we are one or two plays away from being 4-2,
we said it last
5-1. Like, the Patriots are not – see, that's where the
they're three plays away from being basically 5-1.
That's where the delusion.
But they're not a good football team.
Lays. It's just like, okay, there's so many teams. There aren't a bunch of teams that get blown out. It's hard to get blown out in the NFL. It's one possession. It's two possession. It's one bad play. Two bad plays.
One play Mac decides about most it. Games.
And that's what Mac Joe, he even said that. He's like, listen, I'm coming to realize that, you know, in the NFL, one or two bad plays, that's what makes the difference.
But,
in college, I can have 10.
But I remember in that Tampa decision, 4th and whatever it was, they didn't go for it. They lined it up, you know, for Nick Folk. And a lot of that discussion was he protecting the kid? Because, you know, Folk kicks the field goal, good for him. He misses the field goal. We're questioning Folk. We're questioning Bill for making that call. We're not questioning Mac on 4th down, going for it, not executing a play. On this one here, 4th and 3 in overtime, you know, he punts. So we're questioning Bill Belichick's punt. We're questioning the defense and not being able to stop them and giving it up the run. But once again, we're not questioning the quarterback who couldn't make the play on 4th and 3. So is it a way of protecting the kid? The conversation is not about Mac not getting the job done on these 4th downs. The conversation is about Bill's decision and the defense or the kicker.
Yeah, because to me, it's like you didn't even give him a chance to see if he can do it or not.
No.
You're taking that from him. So you're not even to blame for the predicament that you're in because the coach is making all these decisions.
All right, let's go to Don in Connecticut. Don, you're with Lou and Christian. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on? I just want to make a comment. At what point do you start blaming Belichick, the GM, for the delta of talent gap that's on the field week in and week out? Like, look at the difference between the Cowboys roster and the Pats roster, or Tampa's roster and the Pats roster. It's like every other game, they're by far the least talented of the two teams.
Yeah, and thanks, Don. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, the fact that look at the Cowboys, how much talent they have. And look at how they got a lot of their talented players through the draft. And look at the Patriots. N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn. And I remember at 18, you know, you win the Super Bowl, and we're sitting there talking about the draft, and like, you idiots, you're so stupid. They just won the Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, you idiots, it takes 3 or 4 or 5 years to really start to pay the price for a lack of draft, for a lack of developing Dak Prescott's and Martin's and drafting C.D. Lamb's and Zeke and all these other guys and just Trayvon Diggs, and the talent is all over there from the draft. And what did you do? Your draft's been so bad for 3 or 4 years. You got a couple down years of talent, and you go spend $250 million to try to make up for the mistakes you have made in the past in the draft. You think you got to give $11.5 million to Aguilar if you decide to go with McLaurin or A.J. Brown or Metcalf or Deebo Samuel? No. You screwed up N'Keal Harry, and you had to go give that guy $11.5 million. That's a huge misstep.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry. Now, Isaiah Wynn didn't practice for a week or so.
He's an awful left tackle.
But he was bad before he got sick.
I mean,
he was bad. I know. So he was bad before he got sick. So he's regressed so much. So he was worse. Why? Because he just didn't get any reps? It's just he's been in the league way too long to still be struggling with the most basics of things.
You just spent $25 million on two tight ends because you chose not to draft a tight end for about 6 years. Yeah. And develop a tight end while you had Rob Gronkowski here. So what did you do? You drafted two tight ends. And guess what you did the following year? Admit you're screwed up, admit that neither one could play, and after drafting two tight ends, you had to go give $25 million. So because you didn't draft tight ends, because you screwed up the wide receiver, you just spent $37 million this offseason to repair it. $37 million. If you had done your job in the draft and drafted a wide receiver, because it seems like, you know, 9 wide receivers out of that draft are phenomenal, and you picked the one guy that sucks. If you drafted some tight ends that actually hit, like you should have done 2 years, 3 years ago when they're in the league, instead of the 1 year where it was a down year for tight ends in the draft, you decided to take two of them that apparently can't play. $37 million. Do you think you could have used that money in free agency somewhere else to maybe improve your team somewhere else? But no, you had to repair the holes that you made. So, yeah, absolutely, we have put it on Bill, and you should be putting it on Bill as far as some of those decisions made. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We are down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap. We are done with the Patriots, people. Let's rock and roll. We got Game 3. I'm getting fired up. I got an hour to go before this puppy. All right, we got a big league Wago across the street, a big, big one. We're going to look at this Game 3. We're also going to look back at the weekend and how we got here. We do it next on Maloney and Fourier.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.